ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। This morning I plan to speak on two names from Sri Vishnu Sahasranam. Only two names. And the next name after that, there may be a lot to say about it. Still working on assembling information. That Naika Karmakrit. So just these two names I'll say now. The first one of them is 468 in one commentary, or 467 in another. The name is Vyapi. Just got that right there. In this particular verse, because it's not the Vishnu Sahasranam is a list of names, but it's in a shlokas, one after the other. So in this shloka, in this particular shloka come the names Svavash, Vyapi, and Nekatma. There are other names also, but I'm particularly saying these three because these three names were given by Srila Prabhupada to three brothers, all disciples of his in America, from Czech background, for all it's worth. They've all remained steady in the Krishna Conscious Movement since their initiation time, which is unusual. Not only steady in the movement, but actually in the movement, not living outside. They've been living in temples, and Svavash Prabhu, whose name is universally mispronounced Svavas, has been the temple president in Los Angeles for many years. And despite many strange things happening in most centers in America, he's kept it pretty much on course. And Los Angeles Center has particularly been distinguished by year after year after year, distributing so many books of Srila Prabhupada. Naikatma was temple president in Denver in USA for many years, and then for the last few years he's joined Svavash Prabhu in Los Angeles, and he's overseeing some department there. Oh, another thing I should say about those two brothers is another way they've distinguished themselves is by having remained married to the same wife for pretty much all their life, which is unusual among our Western devotees. Their wives are both also very active in Krishna consciousness. And Vyapi Prabhu, I personally spent quite a lot of time with him in Bangladesh. He was traveling. He served in many places. Before that, he was in Africa. Then we were together in Bangladesh for quite some time, traveling village to village. And among other things I remember is his sense of humor. You need a good sense of humor to survive there at that time. Okay, so the meaning of the name Vyapi might be appreciated by Mayavadis who like to misunderstand everything. It means all-pervading. All-pervading, that means no form. But this, my dear friends, or not very friendly with them, is Vishnu Sahasranama, the names of the person who is known as Vishnu. So to call him Vyapi doesn't, all-pervading, doesn't all of a sudden negate his all the other names which describe him, for instance, as Manohara, who's very enchanting. So some impersonal all-pervasiveness doesn't, well, I mean, in one sense it enchants the Mayavadis, but there's nothing really, there's no charm in Mayavad. They're enchanted in another use of the term, that they're bewildered. But there's no love there. So this same person who's known as, yeah, he's a person, that's the very point. This is Vishnu Sahasranam. He's personally present everywhere and impersonally, but actually that he's there everywhere means he's personally present everywhere. As Prahlad, he had great faith when Hiranyakashipu, in a mocking way, said to him, "Oh, you say your God is everywhere, so he is in this pillar." He was saying it as what a foolish thing to say, God is everywhere. He's in the pillar. It's a stupid thing to say. I remember hearing a debate in America at some university between, there were some atheists on one side and theists on the other. Hridayananda Maharaj was a theist, on the theist side. So the atheist said, "Well, you say God is everywhere. Is he in my pocket?" And that seemed to trump the arguments of the theist. How, I mean, it seems ridiculous. How could you say God is in your pocket? That you put your snotty handkerchief in your pocket. So what does it mean to say God is everywhere? So the correct answer is yes, and then you pull out, oh, he's not there. But you have to understand how he's there. Just like you could say also, are atoms in my pocket? Okay, pull out your pocket. You don't see the atoms. How he's present, you have to understand. That should be understood. He's impersonally and personally also present everywhere. Therefore, he did appear out of the pillar to maintain the word of his devotee. And that will come up in the name Naika Kama Krit also. Because Prahlad had said that, yes, he's in the pillar. So anyway, he's there. But to maintain the word of his devotee, the Lord appeared from his pillar, from a pillar. Although that's an unusual appearance. He, in the avatars after Narasimha, he appears from parents. Up to Narasimha, if you take the Dash Avatar, then Matsya Kurma Varaha appears from the nostril of Brahma. So, well, you could say almost parent, although there was no pregnancy and Brahma didn't even know what was going on. But he appeared from a pillar. It was unexpected. But then if everything about Bhagavan is expected, then he's not really Bhagavan. He should be Achintya. He should be... It should be means... When I say should be, that means that we think, as humans with our very limited intelligence, we think, well, God should be like this, 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 and this. He should be all-powerful, should be all-pervading, should be all-merciful, all-good. Okay, but how? But he should also be unpredictable, not that we can measure everything about him. Miyate anya iti maya. To try to measure everything, that is maya, that is illusion. So there's an example of the all-pervading person. So it means he's very subtle also. So he can't be understood. All-pervading means very subtle. So he can't be understood by the very gross intelligence of people who are interested in sense gratification. dulls the consciousness, makes one dull. When one is interested in sense gratification, then the more one is interested, the more gross one's consciousness becomes. The grosser the sense gratification, the duller the consciousness for understanding subtle subject matters. So another meaning of vyapi, in inferred meaning or implied meaning, is that he's not understood to the by the intelligence of people with very gross very gross outlook. Now, that he's present everywhere also means that the devotee feels his presence everywhere, experiences his presence everywhere. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvancha mai pashyati tasyahang na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati. You're learning all your Gita verses. So Krishna says, speaking about the yogi, the yogis, they meditate upon the Lord. And they try to, by the yoga process, they try to see the form of the Lord within their heart by keeping still in one place. But Krishna says that the best yogi is one who sees me, namely himself, everywhere. Not just that you'd have to sit down very tight and then by meditation you can see the Lord in your heart, but someone who can see Krishna everywhere, because he is everywhere. Such a person is never lost to me, Krishna says, and I am never lost to him. So the yogi may capture the Lord, the form of the Lord, by his meditation in the heart, but then again loses. Then he has to go again into meditation, and he might again find the form of the Lord. But the great devotees, tarva jangam deke, na deke tarmurti, savratra hoita ishta deva shvurti. Those who are great devotees, they see everywhere their worshipable, their dear Lord manifested. They don't see exactly the forms of moving and non-moving entities, but they see everywhere Krishna because they're so much in love with Krishna. So that is the perfection of yoga, to not only realize intellectually that Krishna is all pervading everywhere and in everything, and at all times also. That's another, he's pervading in all three times. All three phases of time, past, present, and future. So, sarvatra sarvada, he's everywhere at all times. And therefore the devotee, he's confident that Krishna is with me, Krishna will protect me. I can never be lost from Krishna, I'm never alone. The sannyasi goes out into the world alone, traditionally, the sannyasi. Well, in some tradition, in the older sannyas traditions, the sannyasi would be alone, but he doesn't feel alone. He may go in the forest, which is very dangerous, full of tigers and wild boar and snakes and poisonous insects and no end to the all kinds of dangerous scorpions and maybe gangs of dacoits, even dangerous humans who live in the jungle also, like that Veerappan used to live in the forest. Those of you who remember, where was that? Somewhere in Karnataka. He hid away in the forest. One who is confident of the Lord's protection, he feels no fear. He goes in the forest. When we hear about going to the forest nowadays, we think, oh, that sounds very nice, going for a picnic or something like that. But to go and live in the forest, there's no means of food production. There are all kinds of wild animals. There's no solid shelter like a house. So it means, to go to the forest means to fully depend upon Krishna. And with the understanding that Krishna may come to me in the form of a tiger also, in the form of death. So one who accepts sannyas is, by doing so, Vaishnav sannyas particularly, does so realizing that the Lord is everywhere and He's my maintainer. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, Krishna, 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 Rakshamam, Krishna, 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 Pahimam, calling out to Krishna, protect me, maintain me, with the understanding that now, as a sannyasi, he's completely taking shelter of Krishna, knowing that Krishna is everywhere. So, if he wants, he can protect me. If he Rake Krishna Mareke, Mare Krishna Rakeke. If he wants, he can kill me. But the sannyasi is completely surrendered to Krishna, having given up human society. In human society, we live and cooperate with each other, and in this way we mutually help to protect and maintain each other. But a sannyasi puts his atmanivedana and completely offered himself to Krishna and has given up all human or even superhuman, demigod sources of protection and maintenance and completely depends upon Krishna. To go in the forest, it looks like there's no means of protection or maintenance, but Krishna's here, Krishna's everywhere. Krishna will protect me. That is the faith of a devotee. Etansa astaya paratmanishtam adhyasitam purvatamai mahadbi aham tarishami durantaparam tamovakandam hri nishayivayaiva. This is the prayer of the Avanti Brahmana who lost all mundane shelter and took full shelter of Krishna. This is the prayer of a Vaishnava. It's the standard prayer of a Vaishnava sannyasi, that now I will take full shelter with full firmness and full faith in the Supreme Lord. As was done by so many great personalities in the past, and in this way I will cross over the very difficult to cross over ocean of material existence, of the darkness, by taking shelter of the feet of Mukunda. Lotus feet of Mukunda, and he wanders out into the world. So where's Mukunda? You know, where's Mukunda? You're wandering in the world. Where's Mukunda? But the devotee feels, he's with me everywhere. You wander here and there. Aniketa. Aniketa sthiramatihi. Without any house, but with the mind fixed on Krishna, always connected to Krishna, knowing that Krishna is always with me. So this name Vyapi, it could be taken in an impersonal way, but also in a very intimate way. The devotee feels the presence of Krishna everywhere. There's no place or time or circumstance where Krishna is not present. So in this way, a devotee is fully confident of Krishna's protection always and everywhere. The Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya commentator on this series of names, he links it particularly to Mohini Avatar and that whole Leela in which there were so many forms of the Lord manifested. He manifested as, Mohini came later, but he manifested himself as Vishnu, as among the demigods, pulling the snake Vasuki. He was also a representation of himself. And then as the Kurma avatar, and as Ajit avatar, with his thousand arms on top of, sitting on top of the Mandara mountain. So he manifested himself in so many forms. And Parashara Bhatta, who is the Sri Vaishnav commentator says that in this pastime, he pervaded, he was present in so many forms and in this way pervaded the whole situation. And he also, by his pervasiveness, he gave the energy both to the demons and the demigods to churn the ocean. So in this way, he's all pervading, but he's active also. He's all pervading. In the Gita, he gives the idea that he's all pervading, watchful, and detached. In the 13th chapter, that is described how he's all pervading. Sarvata pani padam tat sarvatok shisharomakam. Sarvatal. What is it next one? Sarvatal shruti malloke sarvam avritishtati. The super soul is his hands. Sarvata pani padam tat. His hands and legs are everywhere. His eyes are everywhere. He can see us, what we're doing, what we're thinking. His eyes, his faces, his mouths are all pervading. So you can offer food to Krishna. He can eat it. You can be in the forest and there's some fruit and you can take it and offer it to Krishna. Wherever you are, he can accept it. He is, when you say, well, we don't see him. I didn't see his hands and legs and faces. I didn't see him. But sarvata shruti malloke. It's heard. We have heard by the process of hearing that we understand this. Maybe we don't see yet, but we... And he covers everything. And he is... Upadrashtanu mantacha. He sees everything in a detached way. And he allows, okay, you have to go to hell. Okay, you have to become the king of heaven. So like this, but he gets involved as and when necessary, as the devotees can experience that in their life, how Krishna is guiding them. Especially when we have to go through so many difficulties. The devotees, they keep faith in Krishna. That Krishna, he's seeing everything. He's allowing this to go on. That means Krishna, he has some plan. He doesn't think, why has God forsaken me? That's said about Jesus in the Bible. That the night before he was crucified, he called out to God, why have you forsaken me? But a devotee, well, he may feel like that, but not in a rejecting way. We find in the song Gopinath of Thakur Bhaktivinoda, he sings like that, Asura Shakal Pailo Charan Binoda Takelo Bosh. You feel that so many demons attained your lotus feet. I didn't, but he feels almost rejected. But then he calls out, demanding to Gopinath, "I'm Amita Tomarjun. I'm yours. You shouldn't neglect me. It's not proper. Even though I'm hopeless, you must pick me up." So a devotee, he doesn't only theoretically discuss about the presence of Krishna everywhere, but he sees his presence everywhere and in everything. Whereas the atheist can't, by the atheist's decision not to see Krishna, he can't see Krishna. He already decided, I'm not going to see Krishna. So you can show him. But still he won't. You can show him in so many ways. Of course, to personally see Krishna, that requires great qualification. But the atheist can't even get that qualification because he doesn't, from the outset, he's decided that there is no Krishna to be seen. So in this way, he's cheating himself. The next name to be discussed, let's just see if there are any more. points to make on that. Of course, there's so many things. Here's another point. We may not see the whole universe. We may not see Bhagavan directly, but we see the whole universe. Or we may not see the whole universe, but we see so many things. And the ultimate cause of all this, sarva karana karanam, is Krishna. So the cause is always present in the effect. So we can understand that this whole universe didn't simply pop out of nothing. Some people not only don't understand this, but they insist that actually it did pop out of nothing. But the very fact that this universe is in existence and it continues to exist, what holds everything together? That's Krishna. He holds everything together and he pervades everything. And so we can observe the presence of Krishna everywhere. If Krishna wasn't there, there couldn't be anything. It doesn't make any sense to think that there is no Krishna. There are some more things too. Also, from Purusha Bodhini Upanishad, quoted in Srila Prabhupada's Gita commentary, probably. Eko Devo Nitya Lila Anurakto Bhakta Vyapi Hridyantaratma. So you hear the word Vyapi here. That means Bhakta Vyapi Hridyantaratma. There is one God, one Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always engaged in many pastimes, and he pervades in the inner core of the heart. He pervades the inner core of the hearts of the devotees. Srila Prabhupada's translation of this: the one Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms in relationships with his unalloyed devotees. So although the impersonalists will take this to be impersonal, but the devotees understand the word vyapi to mean he's very personal. He's so personal that he extends himself to his devotees everywhere or wherever they may be. They may go anywhere, but wherever you go, Krishna's there. In many places, the Vedas, this again reading from Prabhupada's Gita purport, in many places the Vedas glorify the transcendental personal qualities of the Supreme. The following verse appears in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, Gopal Tapani Upanishad, and the Brahma Upanishad. Eko Deva Sarva Bhuteshu Gurha Sarva Vyapi. Sarva Vyapi Sarva Bhutantaratma Karma Dhaksha Sarva Bhuta Divasa Sakshi Cheta Kevalo Nirgunascha. So we have here Sarva Vyapi, all pervading, Kevala Nirguna. So all this might sound impersonal, but it all starts off with Eko Deva. One personal Supreme Lord. So Eko Deva Sarva Bhuteshu Gurha. There is one Supreme Lord who lives hidden. Sarva Bhuteshu Gurha. He's hidden within all living beings. He pervades everything. Sarva Vyapi and Sarva Bhutantaratma. He is within the heart of all living beings. Karma Dhaksha. He oversees or supervises all the activities that people do. And sarva-bhuta-divasaha, he supervises their material activities. What everyone does, they all live in him. He's the witness of everything. He is the consciousness of everything. and he himself is beyond all material qualities. So this is a very important verse that could be discussed at great length. That Vyapi, all-pervading. He's all-pervading. This way he's able to be in contact with all living beings and to integrate all the activities that every atom and every subatomic particle and every living being and every material form, it's all integrated by himself. So the next name is Naikatma. These two names, they can be quite related with another. Just this verse I read from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Eko deva sarva... Naikatma, sorry, I should say what it means for. Na eka atma. Not one atma. So atma you can means person, being, spirit, mind, body. So he's not... Although he is one person, he has many forms. So Eko Deva, he's one person, but he is in the hearts of all living beings. And in the so how can he be in the heart of all living beings if he's one person or one form? Now he's one person but with many forms. He manifests himself in many, many forms. But they're all the same person. This may be difficult for us to understand. We have difficulty understanding sometimes how someone in Krishna Leela has another form in Gaura Leela. Sometimes we think, how is that? How can that be possible? Well, it's not possible by any material understanding, but this is spiritual understanding. The same person has different forms. So the forms there are of two main varieties. They are Svangsha and Vibhinangsha. Sva means own, Sva Angsha. That means, Angsha means part. So there are Vishnu Tattva forms which are called Svangsha, and Vibhinangsha means all the rest, particularly the jivas. So in one sense, even the living beings are part and parcel. They're part and parcel of God. But when Krishna is described as Naikatma, that doesn't mean, as the impersonalists will say, that everyone is Bhagavan. In one sense, yes, because they partake of the nature of Bhagavan, they're inseparable from Bhagavan. But still he has his specialty, which distinguishes him as Bhagavan. So even though he expands in many, many, many forms, and he remains the same person. And again, in this churning of the milk ocean, in this pastime, he appeared in several forms. Again, as Vishnu manifesting as one of the demigods, on the party of the demigods. Vasuki is not a Vishnu avatar directly, but indirectly he is, inasmuch as he's a very powerful snake. Then as the Kurma avatar supporting Mandara Mountain, on top of Mandara Mountain as Ajit avatar, and then when the churning was over, he turned up in a form which the demigods also could have never guessed, because Vishnu is a male, but if he wants, he can take a female form also. He's not limited. So Mohini avatar. Recently, near Kovur in Andhra Pradesh, I visited for the first time a temple of Mohini Devi. at the back, you can see, has the hair tied in the women's style. So in this particular lila, he is of diverse forms. Not only does he appear in many forms which appear similar, 24 Vishnu forms are described in the Higher Shirsha Pancharatra, I believe it is, which is quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. According to the position of the conch shell, lotus and club, the name of the form of the Lord is named. But apart from that, he appears in quite many different human-like forms. Or rather, we should say that the human forms are Vishnu-like forms. But from our perspective, we think human-like forms. Krishna, Jatek, Hela, Sarvatam, what is that? Sarvatam Nararupa. Chaitanya Charitamrita states that of all Krishna's pastimes, those in the human-like form are the most, they're the best. So in human-like form, there's Krishna himself with Balaram, Vamana, yeah, human, demigod, very human-like. Rama, later he comes as Kalki. Buddha is, it's Vishnu avatar, but we don't take pleasure so much in hearing about. We take pleasure in hearing about the purpose of his pastimes, but not, I don't really get into it that much. Parashuram, yeah, quite fierce. Where is he now? You call him. See, there's so many demoniac activities all over the world, but they're not demoniac enough. How demoniac those demons must have been that the Lord himself comes. Or maybe we can say there are lots of little demons. So they're only suitable for mercy. Just mercy of the holy names, that's all. It's just like Krishna. He fought with Jarasandha, but when this Kala came, who's a Yavana, he just ran away. You're not going to fight with him. It's just too low class to fight with. He did. So the same thing. You don't, all these little demons in Kali, you don't go around killing them all. It's just below the dignity of Jarasandha didn't want to fight. He thought to fight with Krishna and Arjuna was below his dignity. But he said, Bhima, okay, I'll fight with him. This Krishna, he's not a good person, not a good character. I won't fight with him. And Arjuna, he's just a child, he thought. So this way he insulted Krishna and Arjuna and said, Bhima, okay. He's good enough to fight with me. So Krishna, Vyapi, entered into Bhima. He enters into everyone, but particularly someone with great power. He is the Tejas, Tejas Vinam Aham. He is the power, the energy of the energetic. Balang Balavatang Charham is the power of the powerful. So that's why we say someone, if we see any great potency in someone, Yad Yad Vibhuti Mat Sattvam Srimad Urjita Mevava Tattadeva Avagatra Tvam Mama Tejong Sasambhavam. Whenever we see any manifest, something which is wondrous, we can understand Krishna has entered that person. So we can see the manifestation of Krishna. He enters everywhere, but he particularly manifests in various forms. He may manifest those who are attuned to Krishna. They may find himself manifesting himself in various ways. Just like Srila Prabhupada, when a librarian in Delhi suggested to him that instead of, or at least as an alternative, well, or along with writing, making magazines, he should write books. And Prabhupada took it, oh, my spiritual master is speaking to me. So he found Krishna's voice in a librarian. Oh, Krishna is speaking, my guru is speaking. So again, one who is attuned to Krishna can see Krishna everywhere, manifesting himself. Not that the librarian is Bhagavan, but at that particular point, he was inspired by Krishna within the heart to give that advice to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada took that up and he wrote The Easy Journey to Other Planets, a commentary on Bhagavad Gita, which was stolen, and Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. And then he came to America and he went on writing books. So not one form, many forms. A devotee may worship many forms of the Lord, or he may concentrate on one form of the Lord. Generally, it's recommended to concentrate one's particular attention on one form of the Lord. That is what our acharyas recommend. That because different forms of the Lord, they're the same person, but they manifest different feelings and moods. And so a devotee becomes attracted to one particular form with whom one can reciprocate in such a way. There are various modes of reciprocating with Rama, none of which exactly can be related, can be had in relationship with Krishna, especially Krishna in Vrindavan. Because in relationship with Rama, everyone has some measure of reverence. Whereas in relationship with Krishna, in Vrindavan especially, there's no reverence. That's the particular. So relating with Rama is very different to relating with Krishna. He's the same person. In many ways, it's very similar. Also, it's the same person, but in different manifestation. And similarly, relating to Kurma avatar or Narasimha avatar, they're the same person, but manifesting in, not only in a different form, but with apparently a different personality. And various devotees reciprocate with him according to their tad-tad bhava lipsuna, according to their own particular feelings in relationship to devotional the devotional feelings. Not only one form, one of the Vaishnav commentators has said that Bhagavan, apart from the Vishnu avatars, we should see Bhagavan present as the Father, the Mother, the Son, S-O-N, Putra, the disciple, the teacher, the husband, the wife. So, Krishna, he's Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, the best friend of everyone. So, even in the material world, in particularly in Vaishnav society, we can see that everyone who is our well-wisher, they're manifesting Bhagavan. Not that they are Bhagavan, but they manifest the personality of Bhagavan. Another important point is that there's no use to fight about, well, my God is better than your God. Some worship Rama, some worship Krishna, some worship Lakshmi Narayana. We can appreciate all the Vaishnavas who are, according to their own feelings, worshipping the Supreme Lord. He takes different forms to reciprocate with his devotees, and also he comes to this world not just to reciprocate and just be there and smile at everyone, but he performs particular purposes when he comes. He has some work to do. It appears that he has some work to do. As Matsya, he saved the Vedas and human society. As Kurma, he became the pivot for the Mandara mountain. As Varaha, he saved the earth. And not only one thing, but they did many things. That will come up in the next name. Naika Karma Krit. He comes not only for one purpose. The next name is Naika Karma Krit, one who does not only one work. So the understanding that Krishna, Vyapi and Naikatma, means he's all pervading. Not Vyapi means all pervading. Naikatma means he's not one Atma. But this doesn't mean that he's no Atma, as the impersonalists would say. Naikatma, not one Atma. So it means no Atma, just spread everywhere. Or Atma is impersonal. No, it means he has many forms. He's present in everyone's heart. So you can see how these two names go together. Gopala Tapani, Upanishad. Eko Bhisan Bahuda Yo Vabhati. Although the Lord is one, he is present in innumerable hearts as many. That's from the Smriti, Matsya Purana, it is said, Eka Eva Paro Vishnu Sarva Vyapi Na Sanshayaha. Aishvaryad rupam ekam cha suryavat bahudheyate. Again, the word sarvavyapi, all pervading, comes here. Vishnu is one. Definitely Vishnu is one. At the same time, stressed, eka, eva, certainly. Vishnu, the Supreme, is one. But sarvavyapi na sanshaya. Na sanshaya means certainly also, without a doubt. By his inconceivable potency, he has one form, yet he is present everywhere as the sun appears in many places at once. There's nothing more there about the Baladev Vidya Bhushan, the Gaudiya commentator. He gives the same meanings as everyone else, as the other commentators for this. He doesn't give a unique meaning. So, Hare Krishna, I'll finish there. Hare Krishna. Any question? He's never alone. He's always with his devotees. Yeah, even each form, so many devotees are with him. The yogis who just want to see the form of Vishnu alone, they don't really get him because they just see him, but they don't really get him because you have to be to really be with him. You have to be with his devotee. He's available through his devotees.
It was linked with the Naikajan, that he doesn't even come alone. He doesn't even take care of him. He's always with his devotees.
Naikaja, not only one birth. Yeah, that he doesn't take one birth, he takes many births, that's another name which comes here in Vishnu Sahasranam. He doesn't take one, means that doesn't mean he's a conditioned soul who takes many births. But yeah, everything has to be understood transcendentally. Naikaja, Naikatma, Naika Karma Krit, not one. Again and again the names come. For those who want to make everything one, beware. Don't try to make everything one. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Vishnu Sahasranam ki jai, Vyapi Naikatma ki jai, Hare Krishna.